This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier, the online course alchemist of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour and a bit, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses and a top-of-mind topic relevant to trainers. We also talk about events to consider, books to read, and a weekly top tip for online course creation. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest on to share their experience and expertise. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we are at episode number 52. And 52 is an interesting number, Sharon. It's apparently untouchable.
Not I know. Really? I didn't know that.
No, me neither. It's some kind of mathematical thingamabob. But yes, it's an untouchable number since it is never the sum of proper divisors of any number. You can't tell that I was reading that out from Wikipedia at all, can you? Anyway, the other thing about 52 is, of course, 52 weeks in the year. And also, it is the number of cards in a standard deck of cards. And then my favourite one this week, because they were a band that I really liked when I was in college, the B-52s. Remember her with the beehive? And yeah, exactly, exactly. So there we go, the number 52 has got lots of interesting things to recommend. Yeah. It there
lots
we are
that.
Yeah. So tell me about your week. How was your week last week?
Very good, actually. Very, very good week. So we did lots and lots of different things. Mm-hmm. So had our online clinic on, yep. What day is it? Thursday. Yeah, it was, yes. Thursday morning.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah, and we had a small but select band of people, but it was actually very productive.
It was.
We talked about niches a lot.
We did mention the N-word a lot, yes.
And we had one of our new members, Gail Kaufman, who had literally just joined us from Trainsort Local in Perth a few days ago, and it was her first time on the online clinic, and she was absolutely gobsmacked by the fact that we solved her issue.
Well, not just one issue, several. It was great. It was really good. And I think she every time she sort of said, oh, well, you know, I have got another one, and can I just, and she explained it. And then somebody would jump in with, well, you can think about this, that, and the other. She's like, oh, my goodness, that's amazing, which is just the sort of reaction that you want from somebody when it's their first experience, really, of what membership is trying to talk and offer, which was fantastic.
Hang on, let me just get my phone. I'll just read you what she sent to me after it.
Aww.
She said, I joined Trainer Talk on Friday. Within a week, I had more focus on what I wanted from and for my business. During my first online business development clinic with other members, a problem I'd been struggling with for a couple of months was solved by them within 10 minutes. Absolutely well worth a small financial investment. Just do it. Thanks again. You revitalised my energy, and I really needed that.
Oh, fabulous. What a great testimonial.
Oh, it's amazing. This very happy customer within a few days of joining.
Brilliant. I love it. It's just so cool when we can see somebody else having the experience that we've come to kind of know and love and a little bit expect, because, you know, it doesn't take long for you to get used to the fact that everybody in the community is so helpful and willing to share experience and help in this way, but particularly the business development clinics, the online ones. And considering, you know, when I joined, and I think I was a minute or two late, and it was just the two of you chatting, and then people, more and more people joined as it went on. It was a really quite a cool little group in the end.
Really, I thought it was really productive. It was great. So that was that. And then the next day, Thursday, so I travelled down to London. Mm-hmm. For the day, because, you know, I go the day before my mastermind. And I met up with Pete, mm-hmm. one of our other members, which was lovely.
Yep.
Although we did insist on sitting outside.
What?
I know. We were sat outside with all the smokers, which was like...
Oh, ick.
He was the said he was too hot, and I thought, I'm the one who's supposed to be too hot, not you.
Yeah. God, that's a whole other story. I was thinking about that. We can start a separate podcast for the N word.
I know, yeah. Exactly. So we did that. So that was really good. And then Thursday night, so I went into the pub for something to eat, because the hotel that I stay at doesn't have food. Not many of them do, actually, like in that area.
Yeah.
Theory being that, you know, there's so many other places you can go. Mm-hmm. So last time I went to this really nice pub that was literally just down the road, and has something to eat, and it's great. So had it all planned out, go back to the same pub, went there, it was completely packed.
Oh no!
Completely rammed. And I got to the bar and they said, oh, we're not serving food now for 40 minutes. And then basically we was going to stop serving food altogether by 9:30 or something like that. So basically, don't bother.
Yeah.
That was the message of it.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, so I went across the road instead and got something to eat there. And there was this really loud band playing at the back. It was hilarious. So I sat there doing all my people watching and stuff. But what struck me, I thought, my God, this is Thursday night in London and both pubs are absolutely rammed.
Yeah.
That's London for you, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. It's one of the, I mean, you know, I'm sure I must have mentioned before that I knew one thing and one thing alone when I left university, and that's that I didn't want to work in London. But you can kind of, having, you know, obviously I've been up there and done meetings there and stayed over and all the rest of it, you can see how people get into that kind of habit of, as soon as work is finished, then we go to the pub, and then they stay there for 2, 3, 4 hours, yeah, whatever. And I think particularly sometimes, and also I wonder if it's got something to do with the advent of more and more organisations taking up the idea of flexible working. So for lots of people, Thursday is the new Friday.
Could be. Yeah, could be. Well, I was amazed. I was staggered, one, by the amount of people in the pub.
Yeah.
And two, the fact that I paid £8.50 for a glass of wine.
Ooh, yeah, welcome to London. Oh, I bet it was just a small one as well.
Oh, it was medium, actually. Oh, even so. God.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yes, but it was very nice, and so it should have been.
Yes, savour every sip.
I did see somebody on Facebook the previous night going on a rant and was also in some pub in London and saying, right, that is it. That is the last time I'm coming in here. I've just paid £14.50 for a glass of wine.
Whoa. Good grief.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy. You can get a decent bottle in Tesco's for, you can get 5 decent bottles in Tesco's for that cost.
No, this is London, you know. It's, yeah, anyway. So that was that. So that was all fair. So that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And then Friday, I had my mastermind day, and you had Trainers What Local in Bournemouth.
Yes,
so
yes.
That go?
It was great. It was really, really good. We were a somewhat smaller group this time than last time, for various reasons, but actually that worked really well, because we had, as I've mentioned previously, we had the somewhat enforced location change because they're doing some building work at the Woodpecker. So we went to the Fox Cafe, which is in an area called Red Hill in Bournemouth, not the Red Hill next to Reigate, south of London. We didn't ask people to go that far. It wasn't one of those sat nav errors. You find yourself driving for 2 hours, like, what? But no, it's there's just a little park, one of many in Bournemouth, and it's called Red Hill. So we went to the Fox Cafe, but I was saying to you before we started recording this morning, you can kind of tell that it used to be the Bowling Green clubhouse, because it's just laid out in that way, and the little room that we were in was just like a sort of an offshoot committee room. You can just imagine them having their little committee meetings in there and that kind of thing. and it was, you know, a little bit on the cozy side. So if there'd been any more, so there were 6 of us in total, if there'd been any more, then it would have been a little bit too uncomfortable, I think. But as it was, the conversation flowed very well. Big shout out to everybody that was there, who are all members now, because the one person who wasn't a member, Sharon Elphick, has now joined, so that's really good. So I like to think it was as a result of the, you know, really hard sales techniques that myself, Simon Linnard, Paul Shearing, Julie Johns and Chris Powell were the others that were there. It was good. It was really good because we had a combination of people who had been to the previous Trainer Talk Live and also other people that had been to the previous Trainer Talk Local. So people knew the format, or if they didn't know the format, they knew the subjects we were discussing. And if they didn't know any of those things, and I think that particular Venn diagram works out to be Sharon. so, you know, we were able to welcome her and make her feel comfortable and not overwhelmed with a volume of people, but at the same time the conversation really flowed nicely, and people who had been previously knew that I would obviously make sure there was an opportunity for everybody to jump in with their thoughts about different things and how I facilitated the discussion, which was, you know, we've got these subjects to talk about, which in this instance was social media and sales and marketing, but actually if people come up with topics that that they want to talk about, and there were I think four or five topics in the end, which was really cool. We had a discussion about all of those as well, so it just worked out brilliantly for the 2 hours that we had. I mean, the weather was awful, but the cake was good, so what more can you want?
Indeed. Good. Well, well done. So in the spirit of, you know, honesty, so we do believe in being honest on this show. It's not all roses. I mean, we did have to cancel Cardiff and Bristol. We were having a little discussion, weren't we? Just came on about, you know, why that was. And you can't work out any particular reason for it. Sometimes it's just bad luck. Sometimes it's just literally people just being unavailable, because we've not done anything differently this time. Certainly no fault of, you know, the local leaders. In fact, I'd probably say that now that we've got Rachel on board, we've probably done even more promotion than last. But, you know, hey ho, it's just one of those things. So we'll just try again. We'll stick to the plan after Christmas and for the next round and see what happens.
It's always going to be a danger, isn't it, when you've got very small numbers? Because you know, let's face it, we're not actually trying to get any more than about 10 people to come along to each one anyway. And you know, I think sometimes there's certainly for the first round, I think there was a little bit of the benefit of it being new and shiny for people, and that's fine. But this time around, I don't think it's because people had a poor experience previously, because everybody that went said how good it was. I think it is just, as you say, it's a sort of a bit of bad luck, really, insofar as sometimes it's just the wrong day for people, sometimes it's just the wrong date. You know, for whatever reason, people either have other commitments that are already booked or they're doing other things. You know, there's no, if we tried to, and I think we had this conversation when we set up the first round, if you try and take account of everybody that could possibly go, you'd just tie yourself in knots. There's absolutely no chance of finding something that's going to suit everybody. But also that means there is a possibility that sometimes you're going to have to pick something that suits nobody. And that's just what happened, I think, for this one. But, you know, we'll plough on. And as you say, there's no point in sort of painting it all as wine and roses and all the rest of it, because there are going to be people listening to this who will want to put on open courses, which is effectively, I mean, I know it's a networking meeting, but it's the same principles as an event, is that, you know, you're having to book stuff and then hope that people are able to come. As opposed to the other way around, which is, you know, get people all lined up and then say, right, we're going to be this place on this date. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, and it is a shame, because there's a lot of hard work that goes on, you know, particularly when people do book and then they go, oh, I'm coming now because I've got some work or whatever. The whole thing falls apart. So, but hey ho, that's just the way it is. We can't change that. We can't change other people and circumstances. We can only do what we're doing. So,
absolutely.
So there's that. What else? Oh, so this week I started a couple of things. So I started my Facebook Lives on Wednesday lunchtime.
Yes.
So Wednesday Wisdom. Mm-hmm. So this is something I've wanted to do for a long time. And again, because I've had so many other things to do, have now been alleviated by the lovely Rachel. So I have tons and tons and tons of questions. This was inspired by Stu McLaren, because he was talking about, somebody asked him a question in our Connect group and said, what do I talk about in Facebook Lives? And he said, okay, well, you can make a list of topics, make a list of challenges, or the easiest way of doing it is to just answer a question every week. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? I've got tons of questions, because in my email sequence, when somebody signs up for one of my freebies on the website, I send them a welcome email, and it's all about, this is me, but how about now you tell me something about you? Mm-hmm. And they always do that. And inevitably, when they're telling me about themselves, they'll ask a question.
Yeah.
And they'll say, this is where I am in my business. What should I do about? Now, I always reply to those emails and give them a, you know, basic answer. But I just thought, my God, but then I put them in a folder.
Yeah.
And I literally got loads of these emails going back, and I thought, brilliant, I can just every week I can go on a Facebook Live and just answer one question.
Perfect. It's a perfect format for it. It really is, isn't it? Because you know, as you know, I do my Wednesday wisdom, so I call mine Webinar Wednesday, on a Wednesday lunchtime as well, and I try and do the same, which is answer one question. Mm-hmm. And just spend a little bit of time, you know, it's usually between 10 to 15 minutes, that's all it takes, just to go a little bit more in depth with something. So if you've got a huge back catalogue, as I know you do, of all these questions, that's fantastic, because it's a relatively easy way of you staying connected and in touch with people and helping them still see and get to know you, of course. I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves, as well known as you are, and as many we joke about as many stalkers as you've got, there are still some trainers out there who don't know who you are or don't know enough of who you are.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, it's a great way of getting your face and name recognised, and also being able to demonstrate your expertise and your credibility. So brilliant. Really, really good that you've got those started.
So that's accountability and all that. It's mm-hmm. all in the diary for every Wednesday at 12:30. So I've got to do it now.
Yes, yes.
So that's as good. So the first one was done. And then finally, the other thing that we had a look at, which is very exciting this week, you and I both, was this searchy tool.
Yes.
For the Trainer Talk website. Mm-hmm. Which basically, what this is, it's a tool, again, also given to me by Stu McLaren, who's developed it, and it's basically a search engine for video. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So how cool is that, to be able to go into the Trainer Talk members area and to type in any search term, like niching.
Niching, yes.
How many videos are going to be pulled off?
God, by the time we've catalogued them all, quite a lot, I would imagine. Yeah, because that word, I mean, what's going to be fascinating is to see the analytics, to see which terms come up the most often. And I think, yeah, definitely niching is going to be up there, along with probably pricing as well. But yeah, I mean, the tool itself is really cool in that it's all through bots, so it's automated, but it will go through the video, analyze the content, produce a transcript, but also from that transcript then it has a search function that you can search on the words that are in the transcript. So, you know, I mean, yes, you're going to have to go through the transcript and tidy up a few bits that it hasn't recognized from the speech pattern, but as time goes on, that will get better. You know, and I think the thing that makes it different from other bits of technology, so Otter AI is one that is a really cool free tool for people if you just want a transcript. But what sets Searchy aside is the fact that from that transcript it provides this search function. So yes, as you say, it's supposedly embeddable in a website. Yeah, I was going to say, I'll find out soon enough, won't I? fun times. But yeah,
I just think let's trial it and see, because obviously he's given Connect members a great deal, which wasn't sniffed up really. So I just thought, you know what, let's see, and it will make it so much easier for people. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to sit through the whole video or whatever. They can just basically just type in whatever they want, and it will come up. So
yes, and that's the thing. I neglected to mention, it doesn't just tell you which videos the words are in, but it will timestamp them as well, because it timestamps the transcript. Yeah. So looking forward to A, getting that to work, and B, letting people road test it to see how much it helps them find information. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So that was good. So all in all, that was a very busy, productive, and fun week. So
excellent.
You.
Yeah, so my week was busy, fun and productive too, so that's handy, isn't it? I had lots of really interesting conversations last week, so if you remember from last week's podcast, I'm sure you will, listeners, because it was scintillating. I was talking about the cold that wouldn't happen, and then it started coming out, and it kind of, I suppose Tuesday probably was the day that it was at its worst. And I was thinking, oh God, here we go. That's me for the rest of the week. And then it went away again.
Yeah,
so
good.
It was just, I mean, you know, very, very happy about the fact that it went away. But it's like, well, what's the point of all of that then? Because, you know, I was still able to function and go out and do stuff. So, so it was just right. Okay, clearly my body was listening to me going, for God's sake, just do something. Do it properly or don't do it at all. It tried, but it didn't win. So I was able to have lots of really interesting conversations with people last week, actually, including a former colleague who elected to take redundancy, I think, at the beginning of this year, and was thinking about what she might want to do in the future. And we were just catching up, really, more than anything else, because I can't remember why she'd got in touch with me, but she got in touch with me for some... Oh, that was right. She was looking for any advice I could give her about NLP courses to take. She was thinking about, you know, would she want to go into coaching? She needs a flexible lifestyle because there are family commitments and what have you. But actually, her role was as an executive assistant. So we got to talking about being a VA, but a VA with very specific skills. Niching, funnily enough, came into the conversation. So I was chatting with her about that. So that was lovely. But also, she'll need a website at some point. So we chatted about that as well. Not what you know, it's who you know, folks. I think the thing that has really surprised me, and kind of, I shouldn't be surprised, but I am, it's one of those where over the last week, when I launched Get That Website Online, I officially launched the page, I think, 2 weeks ago, and just invited everybody in my Facebook friends list to like it, because you never know. And I'm already at I think it's 100 likes, might even be more now, which is just extraordinary to me, because I know that, yes, there'll be some in there of people who've just gone, yeah, like, whatever, and not given it a second thought. But I know that some of those likes are from people who I know for sure carefully consider these things. They don't just like stuff for the sake of it. They will only like it if they feel that it is of benefit to them. So that was really flattering from my point of view. But also just thinking about having set up the business and it was always part of the business, but having formally admitted it as being a part of the business within the space of 3 weeks, you know, I've got 1, 2, 3 clients that I would never have had if I hadn't said, hey, I do this now, it's official. And I've got another 2, 3, 4 you know, potentially in waiting for these things. So, you know, it's one of those things where you know what you should do, and then when you're in a position to actually go, right, I'll do this, then I'll do that, then I'll do that. And there's been no specific plan behind it because I've been so busy trying to do other stuff. I haven't had the chance to have put together a formal marketing plan yet. But one of the things that I really liked was that I joined, thanks to Ian Crossley, I joined a sort of online community that he recommended, which is specifically for local businesses. Now, they're based in Chichester, so they're a little way away from me. However, they offer an online option similar to Trainer Talk, funnily enough, but they are more for local businesses, and so you get a huge variety of what you would get in any town or conurbation. So there's people in the health and wellness area, you've got plumbers, estate agents, solicitors, you know, the usual smattering of people and job types. But I put in my introductory post, you know, this is what I do with websites, I specialise in working with small and new businesses to help them get their first website up and running. And somebody actually came back in the welcome and said, oh, you know, great that you're here. I really like the fact that you specialise in small and new business. Yeah. And I thought, well, there you go. Niche face. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that's what I'm really pressing moving forward is, you know, and that's what I love, is to be able to help people who are in the first throes of business and go, let me take that thing off your to-do list, because it's so easy for me. It's much more difficult for you. If you don't know any of this stuff, it can be quite overwhelming. However, I know exactly what to do. I can do it for a really good price. Let me just create a website for you. And then you don't have to worry about that for another 6 months. You know, you can concentrate on building up your business. So those were the sorts of conversations I was having last week. And that was really reaffirming. I suppose it would need to be reaffirming if it... anyway, let's not get caught in the semantics of that one. It was good. That's what it was. So, yeah. So there we are. And then culminating, as we've already discussed, in Trend Talk Local at the end of the week. So, yeah.
So a marvellous week all round.
Definitely. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. It's all good. All right. So shall we continue the fun element of what we were talking about with our top of mind topic?
Indeed, yes, because top of mind this week is going to be all about fun ways to get business.
Yay!
And this was inspired by a couple of things, one of which was you, Jeanette, because I was thinking about how you had the idea, or we talked about the Get That Website Online mm-hmm. idea in our Ambassadors Mastermind Day a couple of weeks ago, and you were sort of asking for ideas and strategies and, you know, how to get business and all the rest of it, and basically we all said, but you know, loads of people mm-hmm. already, you have loads of people in your network who will absolutely want to have that, and so actually at this moment in time you don't need to do anything more mm-hmm. and I just thought, what a fun way to get business. That is something that is just right under your nose. It's not hard work. And how enjoyable is it to just have conversations with people? So I was kind of thinking about that. And then over the weekend, I was watching one of the Michael Neal videos. So I'm a member of his inner circle, like membership type thing. And it basically has a library and there's loads of workshops and stuff in there. So it's just great for a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And so I watched one of the workshops that he did. It's a 2-hour workshop, which I had to split into two bits. I think I did some on Saturday and some on Sunday. Anyway, so it's a whole new way of thinking about success. And basically the premise is about, you know, it doesn't have to be this hard to get business. And there are loads of other things you can do. And he was told this great story about how he had, so basically in his first iteration, he was an actor.
Okay.
And he had his whole life basically planned out in the stages. And he was saying, okay, so between, you know, 30 and 35, I'm going to be appearing, you know, in the West End or something. No, between 40 and 45, I'm going to be acting in the, you know, he had it all.
Wow.
And it got to the stage where he'd kind of been doing this, and he actually got asked to do an audition for Saturday Night Live. You remember that old?
Yes.
In the States. And it used to be on Saturday night, obviously, and it was a really big show.
Mm-hmm. Still is.
Yeah, and he was asked to do an audition for it. And when it got to this was something that he'd had mapped out and he'd been building up to it all his life as mm-hmm. an actor. And when it actually got to it, he thought, don't want to do that.
Wow.
And he realised that he'd been doing this sort of coaching and teaching about psychology on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually realised that he was loving it and he was kind of having loads of fun.
Yeah.
So he decided to do that. So the fact that he kind of mapped out his whole life and his whole career actually didn't get him anywhere because mm-hmm. it wasn't what he wanted to do. So then he sort of then goes on to sort of talk about the fact that then when he had this coaching business in its early days, so he applied the same approach. So he was kind of, okay, well, you know, I'm going to set do all these business goals, and I need to have so many clients by X date, and, you know, I need to, you know, do so many speaking engagements, you know, a month, and all this kind of thing. And it got to the stage where it was just so, so stressful. And he was basically just saying yes to everything, and, mm-hmm. and all this kind of thing, got completely overloaded to the point where he got up one morning and the side of his face collapsed.
Oh no, Bell's palsy?
Or was
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And literally, and his wife said to him, what's going on with your face? Don't you need to do something about that? And he said, oh no, no, don't worry, I'm supposed to be speaking at this event. And he got on a plane and he got to wherever he was going in America, got off the plane, and you know, the first thing that the person said, who was running the event, said, you know, what's happened to your face? He said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, no, actually, I think I'll put you in the car and drive you to the hospital. And it turned out to be that, which was completely stress-related. So that taught it. So that forced him to kind of reappraise thing. And his attitude now very much to his very successful, hugely successful business is kind of just to let go of all that stuff and to don't have targets and goals and milestones, and to just kind of fully immerse yourself in what you're doing every day in the moment. You know, as he puts it, sort of play to enjoy playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That makes sense. And also just explore and be receptive to opportunities that come your way. And he said, all I can say is that it's kind of, it's immensely freeing, and it's kind of really worked for me. And as I sat there actually watching it, and this is not the first time he's talked about it, but I just thought, I know that to be true. I absolutely know that to be true, because I remember, and I know I've talked to you about this before, about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, at the start of the year, I decided I would have a year like that where I would just go, instead of, you know, striving for the next thing and trying to make things bigger and better, I just thought, I'm just going to sit with what I have.
Yeah.
Just sort of sit with the clients that I have and serve them to the best of my ability and enjoy doing that, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that was the year that I had the best year that I'd ever had in my business.
Yeah.
And so I do think there is something about that which is runs totally against kind of traditional sort of business and marketing advice, but I just find it really fascinating.
Definitely. Wow, there's so much to unpick in there. All these different thoughts being sparked when you were talking. So I'll start with the final bit first, which is sort of, you know, sitting back and kind of going with the flow of your business. I think can be incredibly powerful, but I don't want anybody listening, if they're very new in business, to think, oh, that's fine, I can just sit back and let it happen.
daytime TV.
Having the freedom to do something like that comes from also having spent years and years building up stock effectively in your business. And what I mean by stock is awareness of who you are. Information is out there about what you do. There are people who have a desire to come and learn from you, whatever that might be, and therefore there are also people who are willing to take action about that, and all you have to do is be there and available for them when they are ready to turn up and take that action. Having put all of that hard work in to have your established business, then I do think there is something to be said for ensuring that you're spending time enjoying what you're doing. And we do talk all the time about making sure, you know, if your business isn't fun, why are you doing it? And yeah, absolutely, it has to be something that you enjoy doing. But taking or making the choice to be fully present in what you're doing in your business, I think is something that's really very powerful, and you've absolutely seen that. And I just think it's fascinating that he had a career mapped out in acting, one of the most notoriously unstable, you know, careers to have anyway, but also that he had the courage to reach the point where he went, actually, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not where my passion is. It's not where my heart lies. And I think, I mean, certainly for me, when I first started my business, I just didn't know where my passion was. And I think that was part of my personal pushback against the idea of niching, because I was terrified of picking something and getting it wrong. And then thinking, oh God, now I've built up my client base with all of this stuff and I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I want to do that other thing over there. Or is that a case of grass is green or blah, 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 whatever it might be. I am so, so grateful that I am now at the point in my business where I've been able to introduce another fun element that will help pay the bills. So, you know, my passion, as we know, is helping trainers and speakers and authors create online courses, and that's fantastic. But I've also, with the introduction of Get That Website Online, introduced another fun thing to help me when I'm not doing the other fun thing. And it's just, how did I get to be so lucky? This is, you know, and of course, it's not just a question of luck. You know, having put in the hours and having put in the hard work, and I'm not saying that I'm sitting back and just, you know, everything's coming at me. It certainly isn't. But I am in a position where I genuinely enjoy the work that I'm doing, and I'm not. So Paul Harris talks a lot about Bill's work and Thrill's work.
Yeah.
I am very fortunate at the moment that my Bill's work is also my Thrill's work. And it might not always be that way. Goodness only knows, this year has been a tough old year, as it has been for a lot of people. But at the same time, you know, being in business and going, I really, you know, what should I work on? And it's not a question of where's the frog that I have to eat. It's a question of I'm so excited about all the things I've got to do. I don't know which one to start with. It's kind of the reverse situation of what people have normally. I think there's a lot to recommend what he's saying. It doesn't have to be this hard to get business. I think it is possible sometimes to forget that we can be ourselves. Mm. And you know, I don't want people sort of rolling their eyes and going, oh, here we go. You know, be authentic, just be yourself, follow your passion. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, look at all the stuff that you are doing to try and win business. What's the thing that feels the hardest? Knock that on the head, find something else that you enjoy doing, whether it is tapping into your network of friends, whether it is creating a little animated video. There are so many different tools out there. I know, because, you know, it's a service that I offer, and people are, well, why should I pay you to do that when I can get this thing? Well, there are lots of reasons why you should pay me to do that. But it is possible to create, you know, a fun little video about something. Put it up on LinkedIn. You don't have to write a blog post. If writing isn't your thing, then find something else to spread the word, get the message out there. There are so many different options, I think, available to people.
So much. There's so much. And there's just so many opportunities around us. Mm-hmm. So many opportunities around us, you know. That's one of the question I'll be answering in the Wednesday Wisdom on Wednesday.
Nice tie-up.
Well, somebody asked about, she was talking about the fact I need to get more proactive in business rather than relying on things that come to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to start off by talking about, well, what do we mean by being proactive in business? You know, let's explore that to begin with. Because I do believe opportunities are around us. We just need to make more of them and enjoy doing something with them.
Yes.
And interesting what you're saying about, not doing things that you don't like. This came out in the video workshop from Michael Neal. And again, it's not the first time I've heard him say this, because you watch a lot of people's at the same themes to sort of come out, which is great. And he always maintains that the most successful people that he knows have one thing in common, and that is that they have all stopped doing things that they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow, is it really that easy? And it's like he said, it was amazing how it's really consistent amongst everybody. Mm-hmm. Stop doing things you don't like. And that will always be his advice. But what's one thing that I need to do to have a successful business? He would say, stop doing things you don't like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had it, didn't we, last week with our guest, Julie, talking about, you know, when she took that decision that she wasn't going to say yes to clients that she knew in her heart weren't going to make her happy. Yes, it's scary, but at the same time, that just paved the way, or cleared the way, I guess, for her to have space to take on clients that she did want to work with. I've got a friend who's in a very similar position at the moment, who has a relatively successful business, but the people that she works with are quite leechy. And what I mean by that is, yeah, they pay her for her time, but they take that and then some. And, you know, don't think anything of sort of mucking her around in terms of the times of appointments and all that kind of stuff, and then send out of hours messages and get really annoyed if she doesn't answer them. And it's those sorts of things where it's just not healthy for her, but she knows who she wants to work with. But it takes a giant leap to go, actually, I'm not going to cling on to that stuff anymore. What I'm going to do is make myself available for the stuff that I do want to do. You know, without getting too woo-woo about it, it is about clearing your mind more than anything else of all these stresses and worries, so that you can recognize opportunities when they come along. And, you know, things that you might look at previously and go, oh no, that's not right, or it's not for me, or just miss completely because you've got no capacity in your brain to process these things. You now have that space to go, oh, that might be interesting. I might, you know, just see what happens there and go along to that and you know, see where I can get to. I mean, one of the things I distinctly remember saying in the ambassadors meeting about get that website online, and my specific instruction was, I've spent so much creativity on putting the website together, I've got none left for my marketing. So go. Tell me how to do my marketing. And I was just sort of, you know, looking at all of that stuff, and I remember answering the questions and saying, no, I'm not going to be doing a newsletter or anything like that. I just, you know, want it available as a service, and to make it sort of, you know, maybe 25% of my time on it and all the rest of it. And it's like, actually, I don't mind if it's more like 50% of my time. I don't mind if it's 75% of my time. You know, some months it will be, some months it won't be, because I equally enjoy all aspects of what I'm doing. So I don't mind how much time it takes up, because to me, it's all enjoyable. It's all really good stuff. And I think I am going to have to start up a newsletter. big shock there. Sharon's going, yep, told you so. But, you know, I mean, it's I do think it's one of those things where we can get caught up in all the shoulds and not take a little bit of time to work out, okay, is this fulfilling me? Is this something that is really bringing me joy in my business? It's exactly what you were talking about with, is it easy? Is it fun? Yeah. You know, am I enjoying what I'm doing? I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where, yeah, I totally get if you're in a place at the moment where you are worrying about money and worrying about where the next job's going to come from and all that kind of stuff, it is very, very difficult to listen to something like this and not be a bit cynical about it, not be a bit, yeah, well, it's fine for you, but I get that. Totally. But it is worth keeping at the back of your mind. So when you have a little bit of capacity to sort of go, right, now I'm going to take some time to think about what I'm doing, and whether or not it's bringing me joy in my business, then it's worth starting at this point. Is it fun? Is it something that I enjoy doing?
Yeah. And just let, I mean, the three things, I guess, you know, to take away from that are, you know, number one, just let go, because I do believe that no matter what stage of your business you are, that we can all do a bit of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, operating, and again, we've talked about this many times, from a position of fear and desperation is just not good for your business.
True.
You know,
yeah.
Really. And secondly, you know, contrary to all advice, you know, don't set targets or goals, or don't be tied into targets or goals. That's an interesting one. You can just experiment with these things, you know, for a week or a month, see how it feels, see if it makes any difference. And number three, absolutely, this applies to whatever stage of business you are, stop doing things that you don't like.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's your business.
Yes, exactly. It's interesting with the targets and goals thing. I think, you know, we can tie ourselves in knots with targets and goals. And one of the things that I used to talk to people about, particularly when I was still practicing NLP regularly with people and doing NLP interventions and that kind of thing, was one of the things I was taught in my NLP training was to recognize when you need a goal and when you actually need an outcome, because goals can be quite specific in terms of how we think we're going to get there, and therefore if we don't manage to achieve one or more of the steps on our way to our goal, then it can kibosh the whole thing, right? Whereas if you've got an outcome, you've got a vector that you're aiming for, so it might be an overall, you know, I'd like to make this amount of money this year, or I'd like x more clients this month, or whatever it might be, I'm going to make so many phone calls or what have you. You know, you kind of, you're aiming for that thing, but actually you're not being too prescriptive about how you're going to get there. And that's where the fun comes in, is finding different ways of getting to the same point, instead of being very prescriptive about, well, I must do this and I must do that and I must do the other in order to get that thing. Because, you know, ultimately there are some things that we know work very well and some things that, you know, have a less high hit rate in terms of working for your business. But there is no specific formula that works for everybody in every business all the time. There absolutely isn't. So your point about experimenting is so, so important. This is what I tell people when we're doing course creation, online course creation. I will teach you how to do it from a best practice point of view. But once you learn that, then you can start flexing and experimenting for what works even better for you. Because best practice is only the average of what works for most people most of the time.
Yeah. Oh, I love an experiment as well.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. Business. So, should we move on to the Dog Walking Digest?
Yes, indeed. What you got? What's Jem been up to?
Well, I mean, felt a little bit sad for her. I felt terrible last Friday. You know, I'm going to get reported to the RSPCA at this rate. So, sod's law. you know, the one day that we were both that I was in London. Was also in London as well, despite the fact that he's been working from home for about the last 3 weeks.
Typical.
Typical. So we had to leave Jem on her own again, which, you know, she always survives. But I don't like it. So particularly about the fact, although I'm really not too impressed with her right now.
That must be the sixth or seventh time this morning that she's asked to come in or out.
I know, because I'm still a little bit worried about this, these weird phases that she keeps having, because, you know, like the other night she was doing it, so she seems fine most of the time, and then every so often she'll either have one of these trembling fits that comes out of nowhere, or just what she was doing the other night, she was literally, I was in one of the other room, call it the playroom, was the playroom, now is my Netflix room, and she was sort of wandering between there and the hallway and the kitchen, and normally she just goes in a bed at night. She was just wandering up and down, and then I eventually got her onto the sofa. I was to try and, okay, come sit here, stop wandering up and down, and she was just like, just staring at things like on the wall and just really, really heavily and stuff like that. I'm just like, I don't like this. This is really weird. Anyway, she then started pacing up and down again, and it got to the stage I thought, right, I've got to go to bed now, so I'll just have to leave her. And I could hear her pacing up and down. Anyway, so she obviously did go to sleep.
She's asking to come back in again.
So then she was, heard her eating her food at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
and some days she eats the food straight away, and other days she is just leaving it, doesn't eat it, or eats it at odd times.
Yeah,
you don't know whether it is this whole Amy's convinced. I told you Amy's convinced it's some kind of dementia.
I was going to say, is it doggy Alzheimer's? Yeah,
like she's a bit disorientated, and then I'll get all worried, and then the next day she'll be perfectly fine and running around like normal. So,
well, you know, I mean, that is one of the signs, isn't it? Is sort of, you know, it doesn't just go from one day to the next absolutely fine and then completely doolally. Yeah. It's kind of, it comes over a period of time. But that, to me, in my, you know, clearly, obviously, I'm a qualified vet. I'm really not, listeners. I'm not any way qualified to make any kind of assumptions here. But from what I know of dementia type illnesses, that sort of forgetfulness, and that might explain the going in and out, you know, in rapid succession, is she just forgets that she's only recently been out there or come back in again, and she might be forgetting to eat and all that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, at what point do you take her to the vets and find out?
I keep needing to do it every week, and then she'll be fine. And I'm like, oh, she just don't really need to go down, because I don't think there's a great deal that they can do anyway.
No. But I suppose, you know, I mean, it might be worth Dr. Google to the rescue. It might be worth just checking out sort of what the signs and symptoms are.
And believe me, I have.
I'm sure.
And they are very, it says pacing up and down, staring at things. What was the other thing? I can't remember now, but anxiety, you know. Because literally, she'll be sitting there, like, she might maybe sit here, and all of a sudden she'll literally just jump up. She'll run around and then come and like jump on me or something, and she'll literally like be shaking.
Oh, poor love. Yeah.
Feel her heart like beating like that. I'm like, what, Jack? Why are you suddenly, nothing's happened to make you feel like that, but something, she's heard something. I don't know. It's just really weird.
It is weird. I presume there were sort of hints and tips for what you can do, which I agree, I shouldn't think there is an awful lot you can do. You know, I mean, I suppose it's just a question of letting her get on with it, which sounds terribly harsh, but it's like when Scamp gets scared of fireworks and stuff, he won't actually let me comfort him. He goes into proper fear phobia behaviour, which is what he wants to do is pant and pace around, and you know, eventually he will settle in somewhere that feels safe to him, but he'll still be you know, panting and pacing, or rather panting, and until either the noise stops or until he decides that it's time to calm down. I mean, what I adore is that, you know, when things have finished, like loud bangs and all the rest of it, his capacity to just, right, I'm going to have a quick shake now and everything's fine again. You know, he snaps out of it almost as quickly as he goes in. But still, it's quite distressing to watch it from an owner's point of view, for sure.
Yes, a little bit. But anyway, we'll just keep an eye on it. I'll report back next week.
Indeed. Poor Gem. Well, Scamp this week, I haven't got anything Scamp specific necessarily, other than his capacity to do what it seems every dog in the park is doing at the moment. And it's really weird. There's this random kind of twig that's fallen from a tree. See, it's not quite a branch and it's not really a twig, it's kind of that in between, and it looks like it's come from one of the oak trees because it's got loads of oak leaves on it, so yes, that would imply an oak tree. Jeanette, congratulations on that detective work there. However, my point is this: it's just in the middle of the field that we walk across in order to get to the golf course and the park there. But it would seem that no dog is capable of passing this twig by without having a jolly good sniff for 5 minutes and then peeing on it. It's like the conch out of Lord of the Flies, right? It's that thing where you can't pass by the twig without having a sniff and a pee. And it just, I don't, did it one day this week. I was watching this succession of three or four dogs, and every single one of them. So it must be like the local sort of telephone exchange or something for dogs. It's like, who's been here? Oh, yeah, Rex was around. Brilliant. Yeah, okay, I'll say hello. You know, lift your leg and off you go. It's just, and then the twig was gone. I don't know what happened. Might have been blown away. Might have, you know, the council might have been cutting the grass or something. Although in this wet weather, I can't see how they would. And still, go up to the spot where the twig was, have a good sniff, have a pee just in case, and away we go. So it's just the weird behaviour of dogs. I get that there's a smell thing there, and you know, they interpret through their noses rather than their eyes like we do, but it was just so odd. And just watching, go, every single dog, it's almost like they were queuing up waiting to do it. It's terribly British. It's like, my turn, thank you very much, caller number three, do come in. So it's very weird, but yes, that's the excitement, so to speak, from the Dog Walking Digest from us for this week.
Okay,
well, there we are. So on to a book, and we have a book. It's very exciting.
Wow, I know. So this is a stand back in amazement. So this book was one of the ones that I promised to read over the summer, and I did indeed read it. And this is a book called Marketing Rebellion. There it goes. Mm-hmm. The Most Human Company Wins by Mark Schaefer. And this is recommended to me by one of our trainer talk members, the lovely Carrie Eddins.
Yeah.
So the basic premise of this is that marketing and advertising has really changed. This, by the way, this is written by a professional marketing person.
Right.
And basically what he's saying is that in the old days, there weren't many TV channels. There were lots of ads. And we all knew that the ads weren't true and they made loads of false claims and they were quite manipulative. But now what's happened is that, of course, we do have tons and tons of channels. There's tons of choice. People can even with their remotes these days and catch up TV and all the rest of it. You can actually skip the adverts, which I love. I love watching things on catch up TV because there's no adverts.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so with you there. Yes.
Catch ups, though, I don't have to sit through the adverts. Mm-hmm. We're basically saying now that 80% of consumers don't trust adverts in any form whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that nowadays marketing is much more human driven. And it's all really about things like internet reviews, social media conversations, word of mouth recommendations. You know, in a sense that two thirds of your marketing that you do in your business isn't really marketing.
Interesting.
By your customers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the basic premise of it. And he gives you loads and loads of examples of lots of big companies that are doing that and the way that branding's changed and all the rest of it. And then the rest of the book then goes on to show you how you can do that. Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting, but I did feel that you did have to work quite hard to get your head around it and sort of work out how you could apply it to a small business.
Okay, yep.
But it is there, you just have to work quite hard to get it. So there's some of the little sort of nuggets, for example. So how do you help as a small business owner, a freelance trainer, let's say, how do you help your loyal customers, your fans, to spread your story? Mm-hmm. You know, so what do you do to help them do that? And it's all about really sort of having a system to find out who your loyal fans are, and then you can help them to create something that you can use in your marketing. So that's the idea. And then he talks about surprising and delighting your customers, which I thought was kind of interesting. And again, the example that he gives, I'm just going to read it out for you, is not one that necessarily is for a small business, but we can apply it. I thought it was quite funny. Mm. So my friend Andrew was staying at the Waldorf Astoria in the UAE when he received a text message from the staff. The exchange went like this: "How is your stay going so far? Please let us know if we may assist you for the remainder of your stay. Thank you. Andrew, I need an elephant in my room this evening, please." Katerina, absolutely, Mr. Grill. It would be my pleasure to arrange an elephant for your room this evening. Any particular time you would like it delivered? Andrew, I was joking. Katerina, you ask, we deliver. That evening, a toy elephant was waiting in his room, as well as an elephant made from bath towels.
Excellent.
Of course, Andrew transmitted his delight through his social media channels. And now we have his moment of delight recorded forever in a book. Mm-hmm. Surprising and delighting your customers doesn't have to be extravagant, but you do need to nurture an employee culture empowered to express empathy at the right moment. So,
nice. Yeah. Very nice.
So you have to work quite hard, but there's loads of nuggets. Another one was about focusing on stories and sort of using case studies, recommendations, testimonials. Stu McLaren is really big on this. He's always talking about it. And it's particularly good for those people who don't like selling.
Okay.
If you don't like selling, just get your happy clients to do it for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's dead easy. And all you're doing is sharing stories, mm-hmm, through your own sort of messages that you send out there.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, I wasn't a massive fan. 6 out of 10, maybe.
Okay.
It's quite a big book. There are, it's about 300 pages.
Yeah.
quite a way through, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think there are a few bits in there, aren't there? And what they were saying about, you know, making sure you don't miss an opportunity to surprise and delight people. It's a little bit like the recent trend over the last 3-4 maybe longer years of Twitter accounts particularly have had people who've been quite not irreverent, but, you know, happy to joke around on their responses. Now, yes, this is not for anybody who's got a serious complaint or that kind of thing. You know, there are different ways of dealing with that. But for when people sort of make jokey kind of remarks, responding in kind, you know, which can be quite unusual because you normally think of these corporations as being quite straight-laced and serious and all the rest of it, and just showing the human side of them. So I think it was it Southwestern or Southern or somebody got a 17-year-old boy, I think, or was it the London Underground? I can't remember, because neither Southwestern or Southern are particularly wonderful in the eyes of their customers, train services. But anyway, this boy was sort of, you know, a real breath of fresh air in terms of the responses to sort of Twitter remarks. And it gains traction as well, because the more people who were directed to the Twitter feed, because there was this good conversation going on. And, like, you know, you get the little joke spats between the fast food restaurant chains and that kind of thing, you know, big competitors. And all it is, you know, it's somebody somewhere sitting at a computer for one of them and exactly the same for the other. It's real people. And it's showing the real face, I guess, of the organisation, which, again, comes back to what we were talking about in terms of fun and authenticity. It's,
And there's tons of examples in the book of companies who are doing that. That's kind of the way that it's all going. Quite interesting.
Excellent. Good. All right. There you go. Well, we will link it in the show notes if I can find it on Amazon, so that people can check that one out if they want to. So 6 out of 10, because it's quite an in-depth big read, but there are some nuggets in there if you persist. Yeah?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So now on to events to consider. And we've still got some more Train Talk Locals coming up, haven't we?
We have. So the next little round, we've got 21st of October in Liverpool, which is actually next Monday. We've got the 25th of October in Brighton. We've got the 30th of October in Manchester, the 7th of November in Telford, and the 15th of November in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And then December, we've missed out Leeds, but they're full anyway. So. Now, Leeds will be happening while this podcast is out. Yeah, we talked about it last week. So we've got Leeds and London. If you're listening to it on Friday, it is today.
Yay! There we go. There we go.
And then the Galway one is until December, so 13th of December. So there you go. So go ahead, go to the trainer-talk.co.uk website and book yourself on.
Definitely, except for Leeds.
Talk live on the 6th of December. We're having bookings already.
I know, it's exciting.
I know. So don't leave it too late for that either, because it does tend to get booked up quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And my online program, How to Create a Successful Profitable Training Business, starting on the 28th of October for 6 weeks. So again, go and have a look at my website if you want to. I'm sure Jeanette will add the link to that if you want to sign up.
It's kind of a permanent link on the show notes at the moment. That and Trainer Talk Locals and Trainer Talk Live. It's like, just leave them up all the time, it'll be fine. We talk about it every week, so quite right too. People should sign up for those things. So we talk a lot about, you know, not getting caught up in shoulds, but these are shoulds you shouldn't take notice of.
Definitely.
It's a double should. Excellent. All right, okay, so that just leaves us with this week's top tip for online course creation, and we're looking at best practice number 15 this week, which is about explaining and elaborating the learning path. So it's about painting a picture for potential learners rather than just relying on the course curriculum to give them the information about what they're going to learn, because this taps into a different part of people's brains. It taps into their imagination when they're in the sort of the part of their understanding about what your online course is about, which needs to tell them specifically what they're going to get, then that's when they'll look at the course curriculum. And this is part of the reason why I say to people, you should be quite specific with your titles of your sections and your lessons. And I get that there is a concern from people sometimes that they think, oh, well, my competitors are going to look at that and they'll know exactly what I'm training. Well, yeah, okay, but honestly, the chance of that happening and being detrimental to your business is less than the chance of that being detrimental to your business if you don't tell your potential learners what they're going to learn. Yeah. But what I'm talking about with this best practice tip is something quite different. This is about helping people understand the potential transformation they could have if they have this picture painted for them, if you are able to elaborate. It's a classic and standard sales page technique. So you talk about where people are at the moment, talk about what trials and tribulations they've got, what challenges, what obstacles they've got, and then you paint the picture for them of, okay, we'll sort of wind our way through this path. You know, imagine it being like you're retelling Follow the Yellow Brick Road, the Wizard of Oz story. And at the end, you know, they have this transformation, no matter how it's come about. Don't stick too closely to the Wizard of Oz story. But, you know, you get the understanding that it's starting in one place and ending up somewhere else. And that might be somewhere that is not necessarily exactly where they thought they were going to end up, but you're able to paint the picture of how their life is going to be different. You're able to give them an understanding of what they're now going to be able to do. So it's called, in some circles, it's called the dread to dream. So you're taking them from a place where they're not very happy because they can't do the thing they want to do, and you're taking them to the dream situation where they are happy and excited and fulfilled because they can now utilize this skill, whether that is creating formulas on an Excel spreadsheet, or whether it's understanding more about something like GDPR, whether it's becoming getting some kind of researcher career roadmap. There you go, Emma Williams, got it in there for you. It's all of these different things are desirable for people because, if you follow my methodology for creating online courses, you are going to create something or be creating something that is desirable for people in the first place. There's no point in creating something that you're not sure anybody wants. So if you follow that methodology, what you will end up with is something that people will desire, and that desirability stems from them imagining what their life is going to be like when they've got the skill, the knowledge, the whatever it might be. So it's up to you to paint that picture for them, to help them understand what that dream could look like if they take your online course. So that's what that best practice point is all about. Does that make sense?
It certainly does, as usual.
Hey, well, thanks very much. All right. Okay, so any more for any more this week?
No, I think we're done.
All right. Okay, so we're sort of hour and five, hour and six, something like that on that one. It'd probably be a little bit longer by the time I've sorted out the editing and done the intro and outro. So brilliant. Thank you once again for your time and patience, lovely listeners. Don't forget, you can always get in touch with us at Trader Talk Pod, which is the Twitter handle. You can also send us an email at any point, although, you know, frankly, Sharon gets loads of them with all these questions that she's going to be talking about in her webinar Wednesday Wisdom. That's Sharon@thetrainerstrainingcompany.co.uk, or you can of course email me, that's Jeanette. The email address is gt@getthatcourseonline.com, and that's about it.
Okay. And thank you, time, everybody, we'll see you next week.
See you next time. Bye.